All right, now before we get to the word yesterday, in line with Valentine's, I asked some people for some of their maipahugots. When you say maipahugots, these are basically hugots in Cebuano, in Bisaya. And I have some of them here. You want to see it? The first one that I have here is from Shini Pakibo. She said, may pa ang Facebook na free data. Ikaw, when man ka free para mag-data. Pwede, pwede. Okay? Next one is from a guy in who used to be one of our leaders here. His name is Mike. According to Mike, he said, may pa ang nilungag ginahulat ni mo. Next na. May pagka-bitter ng konti. Okay, tapos may follow-up siya dyan. Sabi niya, may pa mga ushers, managad na ko. Ito naman para to sa mga sawi. Okay, yung mga sawi sa pag-ibig. According to you one right here, he said, may pa si Elsa, naka-let go na, ikaw, wala pa. Alright, the next one is from one of our key leaders here, in the single professional, this person is single, available, and looking for someone. Her name is Charlene, look at this one. According to her, she said, may pang sapatos na ipares, kita kanu sa manta magkapares. Pwede, pwede. One of our leaders here, her name is Francine. I like this, look at this one, she said, may pa si Snow White, ni kaon organic apple, nagka-love life na, ako ni kaon ako halo-halo, wala giyapon, justicia please. Okay lang, mag-choking ka lang. Okay, one of my favorites basically is this last one that I have here, according to him, according to Augustine. Sabi pa niya, may pa si Kuya John, may hope pa. Pwede. Kasi po yung pangalan niya, John Hupa. Okay, pwede, pasok yun. Alright, since it's February 14, if it's okay with you, I wanna show a picture of my wedding day. That's Rian right there. Of course, kasama ako. We've been married for over 6 years now, and I don't normally share this, but do you guys know how we got to meet each other? Paano yan? Nasa notes ko na eh. If I can remember it right, this was a couple of years ago. If I can remember it, I was seated at PC number 12. Okay, I was seated at PC number 12. She was seated at PC number 11. We don't know each other yet that time. Okay? Tapos habang andun ako sa PC 12, naglalaro lang ako. Naglalaro ako ng Brood War. Alam mo yung Brood War? Kay StarCraft po yung naluma, okay, bago pa nagkaroon ng Dota tsaka Diablo. But anyway, I was playing Brood War, and while I was playing, I realized I was actually losing. Diba? You don't like that as a guy, right? Natatalo ka sa game. So I was actually losing. I realized while I was losing, nakita ko yung cursor ko pala hindi gumagalaw. Kasi click ako ng click, tapos tinitingnan ko hindi gumagalaw yung cursor ko, tapos nakita ko nakatingin siya sa akin sa peripheral. So pagtingin ko sa kanya, hindi pala mouse yung hawak ko. Kamay niya pala. Eh, syempre, hindi ko na pinakawalan. Sabi ko dun sa nagbabantay ng computer shop, sir, out na ako. Alis na kami. Next na. That's not true. Okay, we were good friends in the church. His brother is actually one of my best friends. Okay, so what do you call that? You call that ninja moves. All right? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read verses 3 to 9. And I want you to look at this for a while. Before I read this text, this is one of those verses in the Bible that a lot of people are tiptoeing. But we don't necessarily have to do it this afternoon, right? We have to know the truth, amen? Okay, so if you would allow me, I want to ask everyone to receive this with an open heart. Because truth be told, the gospel, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, is always offensive to a certain degree. But it's always helpful when the truth of God's word begins to penetrate in your heart. Okay, it brings about healing in all of us, amen? Now look at this one, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 to 9. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, Jesus, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Verse 7, they said to him, why then did Moses command one to give her a certificate of divorce and to send her away? Verse 8, it says here, he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Last verse, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. All right, now what do we have here? Who am I familiar with the story that we just read? You know, not too many people would refer to this scripture that we have here, but look at this one. Allow me to just give you a context of this. This was when Jesus was in front of a big crowd, okay, just like this one. Okay, you guys know this, wherever Jesus go, people follow him, right? So, you know, Jesus was just, he had a lot of followers. He was a head turner. So sometimes when you have enemies, even if you don't want to have enemies, okay, for the lack of better term, I'm using the word enemy for the Pharisees here, to some degree, you know, the Pharisees would want to test him. Do you have friends who are like that? They put you on a hot seat, right? They put you in a hot seat and they start asking you difficult questions. So this was one of those times, okay? In fact, I have a picture here of Jesus together with the Pharisees. So it's something like this, okay? Jesus was doing his usual routine, his usual, you know, ministry work, healing the sick, going from here to there. And suddenly, a group of Pharisees interrupted him by asking him this question to test him. All right? Now, I want to go to the question that they asked. Look at this one. In verse 3, it says here, "And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, 'Jesus, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?'" Is it lawful to divorce one's wife at any cost? Okay, let me just segue a little bit. You would realize that in a leadership perspective, you know, Jesus is just a supreme leader. Okay, there's so much leadership principle that you could learn from him. One of those is this one. When he was asked about a difficult issue, because he knows that he is just being tested, he started throwing questions at them as well. So that's one thing that I basically learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, going back to this one, it says here, "The Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, 'Jesus, is it lawful to divorce one's wife?'" All right? Who am I can honestly say that divorce and annulment is a big issue anywhere in the world, right? It is a big issue in the United States. Annulment in the Philippines has been alarmingly increasing, okay? So that was the issue before. Guess what? It is still an issue in our generation right now. The Pharisees wanted to know Jesus' answer on this one. Now, I want you to understand this. The Pharisees are coming from two schools of thought. First one are the conservatives. The second one are the liberals. Okay, the conservatives would say a man can divorce his wife only on the grounds of marital infidelity or sexual immorality. Are folks with me? Another thing is this one. That is conservative, okay, the school of thought. The second one is taught by other rabbis, and that's basically saying, the liberals would say, you could divorce your wife for whatever reason. So here they're putting Jesus Christ on a hot seat. You know what they wanted to squeeze out of the Lord Jesus Christ? They wanted Jesus to take sides. They wanted to know if Jesus was conservative or liberal. That's what they wanted to know at that time. Now look at this one. Just to be able to explain this properly to all of us, I want us to recall the first five books of the Bible. You guys know the first five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right. The Pharisees are a group of people who are so obsessed with the book of Deuteronomy. Catch this. You guys are like that. There are some of you who finished the natapos nyo na yung mga different sets of books, like mga Hunger Games na books, di ba? Sometimes you have friends who are obsessed with a certain kind of series. Okay? So it's the same thing with the Pharisees. They're obsessed with the book of Deuteronomy. What is in the book of Deuteronomy? The book of Deuteronomy basically gives us the what? The laws of Moses. Okay? So to cut it short, basically, we have here a group of people who are so obsessed with the law. Are we clear so far? Okay, we have here a group of people who are so obsessed with the law. When they asked Jesus the question about divorce, I want you to catch this. Jesus was not what? He wasn't going their route. He didn't go their route. He didn't what? He didn't go to the book of Deuteronomy. But instead, he went to the first of the five books, which is the book of Genesis. Instead of going to the law, instead of highlighting the law, he went to the book of Genesis. And everybody here in this room know what the book of Genesis is. The book of Genesis is what? It is the book of origins. So many could say the original design, original intention, original sin, it's all there in the book of Genesis. Now look at this one. When you have something as the origin, when you have something as the beginning, then that, my friend, is telling us that that is the point of reference. A surveyor would always start with a beginning. So that, my friend, basically is what? The point of reference. That is where a lot of principles, truth, facts, figures will have to be stemming from. It's like a seed becoming a tree, for that matter. So Jesus was journeying them from the book of Deuteronomy to the book of Genesis. Now, this is quite fascinating because here's what he said. In verse 4, he said, he answered, have you not read? Because he knows that these guys are such bookworms. You have friends who are like that. They love reading books. So he knows for a fact that these guys are such bookworms. That's why he started asking them, have you not read? Have you not read, look at this one, that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? He was referring to the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Okay? I have a point here later. Just hang on for a while. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Here's what he said. Look at this one. Now, I want us to catch this. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them what? Made them male and female. Now, there is a tension here. Why? What is the tension? What is the issue of the Pharisees? Their issue is divorce. Their issue is divorce. Now, look at this one. What in the world is Jesus Christ thinking that these guys are bringing up the issue of divorce, and here he is talking about heterosexuality? Are you folks catching this? He was confronted with the law. He revisited the book of Genesis. He was confronted by the issue of divorce. He went back to God's original intent for mankind. When you say heterosexuality, it's as simple as what? It's as simple as a male and a female. Okay? It is as simple as a male and a female. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. First things first, I want you to understand that when God created you and me, we have the imprint of the very image of God. Are we clear so far? Every single one of us here, male and female, we have the image of God. That simply means to say that because we have the image of God, it's just rightful for us to mirror God's image out there. Because we have been given the image of God, you are way different from your pet dogs. Because you have been given the image of God, you're not like the horse or the grasshopper out there. So it gives me a picture because I have the image of God. I have to conduct myself like a human being and stop acting like an animal. An animal who cannot control his hormones, for that matter. Are folks with me? Sabi ko sa inyo, medyo uncomfortable to. And here's what he said. Look at this one. If you look at Genesis 1:27, who am I here can read English? Everyone, right? If it's English, we can read this. If you read this plainly, and you do not try to distort and bend it on your own terms, you would come to understand it's male and female. It simply gives us a picture that Adam is for Eve, and Eve is for Adam. It gives us a picture that Adam has been created for Eve, and Eve was designed and created for Adam. That's what this verse basically says. I want us to understand here this afternoon that just because we were created in the image of God, that doesn't give us a picture that we are like mini-God, that we can act independently of God. In fact, because we have God's image in us, all the more that there has to be a certain level of dignity in our life. This message that I am trying to come across, you know, to all of you here this afternoon is not me trying to be homophobic, for that matter. I want you to catch this. You talk to my wife, you talk to some of our friends. We have a lot of gay friends out there. We love them, they love us. At the end of the day, even them knows for a fact that we preach God's word without swerving to the left or to the right. Why do I have to tiptoe? Why do I have to like walk on eggshells for that matter? Because at the end of the day, I am more concerned with what? With being scripturally aligned and biblically correct than be politically correct. That is why as a pastor, I do not deem it important for me to be a likable person. Because truth of the matter is, if I preach God's truth, I might not be likable. And I don't really care. As long as my wife likes me. As long as I know that I am honoring God for that matter. From this verse, we understand, you know, two important truths or two things from this verse. First one is this one, divine restriction. The other one is that there is divine distinction. What is the divine restriction that we can see in this verse? It's as simple as this one, one man and one woman. It's as simple as that. It's not Adam and Steve. Neither is it, you know, Eve and Madam, for that matter. It's Adam and Eve, and Eve is for Adam. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that since we're looking at the book of Genesis, I want us to know that God defined sexuality. And as one of his created beings on earth, I don't have the right to redefine it. I can never come into a place of arrogance to try to redefine what God has already defined. If God says it's a male, then it is a male. If God says it is a female, then it is a female. It's as simple as knowing what your sex organ is. Whatever you have, that is what you are. Are folks catching this? Tahimik kayo ng konti. Smile na lang ako ba nag-preach. What is the current enemy of the scripture? The current enemy of the scripture is what? It's postmodern culture. In our generation right now, our culture, not our lolo lolo's culture, our culture is trying to what? Is trying to tamper scripture. But guess what? To my knowledge, there has been a lot of attempts to tamper the scripture back in the past. But to my knowledge, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain. I therefore subscribe and hinge my life into something that will sustain me from the start up until the end. And that is basically God's word. I want us to realize, since, you know, Dumaguete is such an intelligent city, since there's just an influx of a lot of intellectuals here, I want you to understand this. Heterosexuality and heterosexual marriage has been what? Has been the norm for the past 4,000 years. It is a Judeo-Christian belief the past 4,000 years. Guess what? Our generation, the past 4 decades, is trying to eradicate this belief, this truth for that matter. 40 years ago, 30 years ago, we're trying to what? Debate about this. But right now, we're trying to totally eradicate this. And it is a sad reality for that matter. It's a sad reality that our generation is basically experiencing this. One of you loves history, world history, Philippine history, Dumaguete history, anyone? Someone came up to me last Monday after preaching, and it was telling me about all of this stuff, that he doesn't believe this, doesn't believe that. I brought him to world history. Now look at this one. You don't have any right to basically debate on God's word if you don't know world history. Because world history will tell you that it is a male and a female that makes a civilization function. We are in danger that in the next 100 years, we are in jeopardy if men are having sex with men. Are folks catching this? That's divine restriction it basically leads to what? Divine distinction. I was telling you a while ago that we were all created in God's image. You folks agree with that? Look at the person beside you for a while. Di ba? God's image yan. Kulang lang siguro sa hilamo, sa ligo, pero God's image pa rin. Bible says we were what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. You choose side. You want to be fearfully or wonderfully? Feminist. Right? There's no feminist here. Would go out there and keep screaming and keep yelling about gender equality. I want you to catch this. Before screaming and yelling about gender equality, go ahead and revisit gender roles. I am not here to espouse male superiority. I'm not here to tell you that it's the man who's gonna do this and do that and stuff like that. But here's what I want you to understand. Your worth and my worth are all the same. In the eyes of God, our worth are the same. But guess what? Our roles are different. It's the roles that's basically different. So it doesn't mean that just because my wife is a homemaker, she is less of a person than I am. It's just the fact that she knows her role and I know my role. She knows her worth, and I know my worth. In the sight of God, we are basically the same. When Adam and Eve fell because of sin, the curse brought a distortion of previous roles, not the introduction of new roles. So things were distorted. I forgot to pay our cable TV. I realized, you know, this morning, 5 in the morning, I was watching NBA All-Star. Malabo. Sabi ko, gusto ko sanang magreklamo. Pala na-realize ko, hindi pala nabayaran. Nagiging distorted. This is basically what has happened here. Because of sin, because of the curse, things became distorted for that matter. Now look at this one. Here's what happened. This was the curse. This is something that you need to really embrace. Look and understand. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. So this was after the curse. So meaning to say, before, kung hindi sila nag-sin, hindi sana masakit ang childbearing. Walang anesthesia, wala nang cesarean. Kung baga, pag kailangan mga anak, parang iutot mo na lang. Ganun kadali lang yon. That's what this verse is telling us. So the pain in childbearing was because of her sin. Before that, there was no such pain. Now it says here, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now look at this one. A lot of times we're just so focused on the first few lines. We think, man, this is what Adam and Eve, this is what the curse has done to us. There's no pain in childbearing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more than that. The next line says here, your desire shall be for your husband. Look at that one. Your desire shall be for your husband. If you look at that plainly, if I just read it as it is, to some degree, it looks like a good thing. So meaning, if my desire, if I'm a girl, if I'm a woman, if I'm a wife, and my desire is for my husband, meaning to say I'm going to be a selfless person. Now guess what? This is not a sexual desire right here. So what is this kind of desire that we're talking about? Look at this one. The desire that we're talking about here is from the Hebrew word what? Teshuka. So what is this teshuka kind of desire that we're looking here? This is not a selfless desire. This is not being an outgiving person kind of desire. This is not a sexual desire. Not any of those. Teshuka is a desire to conquer. Teshuka is the kind of desire to want to rule over. Teshuka is the kind of desire to have the urge to oppose her husband. Teshuka is the kind of desire to have the impulse to go against their husband. No wonder we live in a very matriarchal culture. No wonder husbands keep shutting up. And women love talking for that matter. Where else can we find this teshuka kind of desire? You will be shocked where you can find this next kind of desire. in the chapter after this, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it says here, talking about Cain who murdered his brother, it says here, sin is crushing at the door and its teshuka is for you. Ooh. Its desire is going against you, but you must master it. There's a story that talked about the first year of marriage between a husband and a wife. Sabi dun, during the first year of their marriage, it's the husband who keeps talking. It's the husband who keeps nagging. On the second year of marriage, the wife learned the art of war by reading that book. Okay? And it was already the wife who loves talking, and the husband was silent. On the third year of their wedding, okay, on the third year of their marriage, both the husband and the wife are talking and the neighbor are listening. I have a very simple message for all the wives here in this room. And I want us to take this with a right heart. If you're here and you are a wife, stand down. Calm down. Calm down. I know for a fact that your husband is far from perfect. But God has given them their role to what? Their role to lead. At the end of the day, you don't want them to abdicate that role and you take on that role. At the end of the day, if you read your Bible, you would come to understand that a wife should be what? Should be the number one cheerleader of the husband. Come on, honey, you can do it. Kaya mo yan, babes. At the end of the day, we'll have to realize that our husbands are not Superman. That's why we don't have to compare them with other men out there. We appreciate their effort. We respect their leadership. That is the role of the wives. My wife has been prophesied several times as someone who's going to give careful instruction to her pastors. And one of her pastors is Pastor Donnie. You know, Pastor Donnie, even before coming up to me, would go to Rian first and ask for careful instructions. The level of discernment is different. But even with all of these giftings that God has given her, she lets me think. She lets me take the lead. She lets me hear from God and not just from her. Wives, are you with me? Diyan kayo? Okay lang kayo? Don't worry, may karugtong to for the husbands. Bawi tayo, bawi, ha? Ang sabi sa verse na yan, in verse 3:16, now this is for the men, yay, sabi ng mga wives, your desire shall be for your husband, it says here, and he shall rule over you. The word rule here is from the Hebrew word mashal. You know what this kind of rule is? This is ruling by great power or force or strength. I hope and pray that for us husbands, we will not come to a point wherein we have to lift our arms and use our force to make our wives submit to us. At the end of the day, it has to be loving leadership. Men should lead, not harshly, not in a rude manner. You could be firm, you are the protector of your home, but when it comes to your wife, you are like a gentle giant for that matter. Wala po tayong magagawa. Tayo 5 minutes, tapos na mag-busy sila, may makeup pa, may curler pa, everything. All we have to do is just really patiently wait. At any time of their married life, a husband should always be gentle to his wife. I want to show you here a diagram that talks about the different errors that we are doing. The errors of passivity, meaning to say, if you're a husband and you are passive, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a passive husband? Meaning to say, you are not engaged in your family. You love your bottle of beer more than your kids. You love your TV. You come home from work, honey, pagod ako, I don't want to talk to you, I want to watch TV muna. You're not engaged with what is happening at home. Your wife is the one who drugs you to church. You know what that makes of you? It makes you a wimp. Whenever I read the word wimp, I translate it in my own mind as jerk. When a woman is so passive, you become a doormat. Meaning to say, you have to understand your dignity. There should be no domestic violence in the home. You have to learn how to speak up. Seek help if necessary. Hindi ka po martir. Jose Rizal, martir. Ikaw hindi. The errors of aggressiveness is being a tyrant for the husband. I hope that we don't have any husbands here na pag-uwi mo, takot na takot sa yung asawa mo. I mean, come to imagine this with me for a while. You don't want your wives to be reminded of their college terror teacher by looking at you. Ang saya-saya sa bahay, tapos dumating si daddy, nagbusina na, anak, tago na tayong lahat. Andiyan na yung tatay nyo. The errors of aggressiveness for a wife is being a usurper. Taking the role of the husband. Kaya ang pera, na kay mommy, na kay sweetheart. And there's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, it has to be the man who makes the big decisions at home. But my husband is like this. Learn to trust God. If God is sovereign, then He is sovereign over your husband's mind. What if nagka-mistake? Sinabi ba natin kailangan natin maging perfect? Pag nag-mistake, di ulitin natin. I'm so poor at directions, but guess what? I'm always the one behind the wheel. My wife is so good with directions. So good, in fact. Whenever I go to a certain place, I still get lost. So I turn left, my wife would tell me it's right. So I think it's left. I went left, oops, malito, dead end. Ikot tayo ulit. No problem, ikot tayo. Nagka-mistake. Pwede bang i-repeat? Pwede bang reroute? Pwede. So don't be afraid of your husband's making mistakes in decision-making for that matter. Are folks still with me? You want us to continue with this or let's end this with a prayer now? A few more things and we're gonna end. Verse 5 said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. Look at this one. Can everybody say leave? That's what the Bible says. If you're here and you got married, you'll have to what? Leave your father and mother. Leave them physically. Leave them emotionally. Leave them what? Leave them financially. It's a sad reality if your parents are the one paying for your Noreco bill. That should not be the case. That is why the principle applies that it's actually difficult for me to live with my in-laws. You know why? Because the principle applies that there cannot be two kings in one kingdom. So if I'm going to stay with my in-laws, then who's going to make the big decision at home? Is it me or is it going to be my wife's father? Are you folks catching this? So pagka nagkaroon ng away, kailangan bang alsabalutan agad? Doon na lang ako kay mami. Mas aircon pa. Bira sa bahay na to ang init-init, kulambo. It also gives us a picture that from now on, guess what? If you're here and you're married or you're about to get married, guess what? You should not compare your husband, do not compare your wife to your mother. Buti pa si daddy, marunong magpalit ng gulong. Adi, tawagin mo si daddy mo, palitan yung gulong dito. It's as simple as I will not compare my adobo with my mommy's adobo. Your wife's adobo with your mom's adobo. Buti pa si mami, masarap magluto ng adobo. O may magagisan ka ng pinggan. Kaya pag hindi masarap yung matabang, ano sasabihin mo? Hindi ka naglalay. I appreciate this. You know what, in any bad cooking at home, you know what's the secret to make everything taste so good? Maggi sabor. Hindi nyo alam yun? Basta may Maggi sabor ka, kahit anong klaseng luto yan, sasarap yan. All right. Okay, we're done talking about the married couples. Ay, grabe. Sa mga singles naman tayo, okay lang ba? Tsaka students? Ayun, yun. Mas masaya mga parents, mas masaya mga husbands and wives. Now look at this one. It says here, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And then it says here, and they will what? They shall become what? One flesh. This scripture is very clear. It doesn't say a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his girlfriend. It doesn't mean hold fast to a stranger from Tiki Bar. It doesn't even say hold fast to his fiancé. It says here, hold fast to your wife. If you want me to say that in a different perspective, it's basically saying, as a man, you have to be sexually intimate with no one else other than your wife. If someone is not your wife, if someone is not your husband, then you don't have business together for that matter. Kumain na lang muna kayo sa McDo. That's all that you can do. No, Archie, you don't understand. We pray naman before being sexually intimate with each other. Awkward yun. Even if you pray, ladies and gentlemen, a sin is a sin. No matter how I want to justify it, I can't. I want to show you, ladies and gentlemen, the picture of a marriage bed. My wife and I can always go shop for beddings. She loves it. Comforters, whether that's Lee Plaza or Robinson's or IKEA, whatever. We could always go to this place and check this stuff. But if you're not a married couple yet, marriage bed is not for you. It says here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed be kept pure. The marriage bed be kept holy. So at the end of the day, the marriage bed is only for the husband and for the wife. Now listen, I'm not singling out any of us here this afternoon. Are we clear in that one? I don't know what you folks are going through. I don't know your issues. I don't know your challenges. I don't even know your stories. I'm just preaching. Amen? Minsan kasi, pag nasa Lee Plaza ako, nasa Robinson's, habang nag-grocery ako, may nakita akong taga-church, nagsasmile ako, papunta na sana ako, umiiwas sa akin. Sige, ba't kang umiiwas yun? Sige, hindi ko maintindihan ba't ako iniiwasan ng mga tao. Tapos nalalaman ko na lang pala, may issue pala, kaya pala ganun. So hindi ko naman alam. Hindi po ako manghuhula, pastor po ako. So don't you ever think that, you know what, I've crafted this message for you specifically. No, it's just the way it is. I want to show you an account of a woman, okay, what a tragic story in the Bible. Her name's Delilah. Look at this one. Judges chapter 16, verse 4, it says here, afterward it happened that Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. You know what Delilah means? Delilah means brought low. My prayer is that for all the Christian ladies in this church, my prayer is that you will not keep bringing things so low. You will not bring your conviction so low. I don't have problems, you know, with us doing this, whatever you want. But minsan, dapat may conviction naman tayo. No problem with miniskirt. Wear your miniskirt as much as you want to. Pero pag yung miniskirt mo, hindi na mukhang miniskirt, mukhang kwan na, belt, ibang klase na yun. V-neck all you want. Make sure that that V-neck doesn't reach your pusod. Are folks catching this? To all of my men friends here this afternoon, look at this one. This is important. Let your I love you be backed up by a ring. Before you become sexually intimate with someone, make sure you have a ring on your finger and on her finger. Make sure you are under the covenant of marriage. That's why I want to rally you. If you are a man in this church, I want you to understand this. We do not ditch the ring for a fling. This right here brings so much security in a girl. This ring right here brings so much assurance in a lady. If you don't want to have a relationship that has so many insecurities, make sure there's a ring right there. Before you become sexually intimate, I want you to understand this. For all of us here this afternoon, altar muna bago kama. Understand what it means to be married. To my single friends here na lalaki, parang malabo minsan if we don't understand this. Parang malabo pagka nag-aalok-alok ka ng pag-ibig, ultimo SSS at pag-ibig mo hindi pa bayad. There are some levels of responsibilities that we need to understand. And friends, these are not suggestions, these are truths. These are from the scriptures. A few more things and I'm going to end. Sorry, I'm taking too long. Verse 6. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Now look at this one. What God has joined together, it says here, let no man separate. I have here a picture of some of the weddings that I have officiated in the course of, I think, 3 years. First wedding that I did was in December 2013. Clifford and Meter's second one that I did, I think, was in February the next year. Kin and Chini, one of our leaders here, did one in Surigao. Excited to do, you know, Patrick's in the future. Here's what I want us to understand. It is not the pastor who made the two into one. It is not the civil court. It is not the judge who made the two into one. At the end of the day, it is God who made the two into one. That's why He is saying, what God has joined together, let no man separate. If you're here and you're married, stick it out. Stick with your partner. Sure, there is a provision for divorce. The Bible basically mentions that. But I want you to understand this. Jesus was very clear. That was just part of God's permissive will, but that wasn't His original intent. It happens because of our sinfulness, not because God has orchestrated this. If you're here and you're annulled, I'm not throwing all of these heaps of truth on you. I believe that God is a God of grace. Amen. God is a God of mercy. The truth of God's word, it always makes an incision in our hearts. And if you feel convicted here this afternoon, guess what? It's a good thing. It is a good thing. There has to be a level of conviction in ours. It gives us a picture that the Holy Spirit is active in us. There are some of you here who's bringing with you a wound from the past. Guess what? God is healing you at this very moment. He's causing your wounds to be healed. There are some of you here, ladies, who feel so insecure about not having partner down the road. Guess what? Do not be consumed with the idea of marriage. Be consumed by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pursue Jesus. He orchestrates things for you. There are some of you here who are in a relationship and you're thinking, is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's always good to process things. I'm not pointing my finger at you. At the end of the day, we'll have to make a decision. What is the best thing? And the best thing is something that will always honor God. There are some of us here who's inclined into homosexuality. I'll tell you what, I am no more than a sinner than you are. You are no more than a sinner than I am. If you feel like such a sinner this afternoon, I feel the same thing. I am such a sinner. At the end of the day, we are on the same plane. We need God's grace. We need God's compassion. We need God's mercy. So the message has not been crafted to throw hips on you. But I present to you, ladies and gentlemen, the truth. That this is God's will for us. Found in the book of Origins. People would say, Archie, why will you subscribe to that? That is old school. Guess what? If old school makes me honor God, then I am for old school. If old school tells me that by doing old school, it keeps me protected, then I am for old school. Who cares what the postmodern world will throw at me? If I'm hinging myself on something that has been proven to keep me protected and to keep me from falling into places that I'm not supposed to be in. I want to end this with Malachi chapter 2. It says here, look at this one. This basically sums up everything. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in sexual union, emotionally, in body and spirit, you are His. Let me just stop there for a while. I want you to understand this. This is also precisely one of the reasons why I discourage you from having sex with a prostitute. Having sex with someone entails that you are becoming one with someone. If you're having sex with someone who's been offering sex with so many people, basically, you're like what? You're like having someone in your life who carries so much in them. And you're making someone one with you who made themselves one with so many people. Because of trainings, because of classes, I've been traveling from Manila and Dumaguete. I always have these small trolleys with me. And you know, airplanes, they always put those stickers. Cebu Pacific, Philippine Airlines. The problem with those stickers is that those stickers are really, they really stick. And sometimes when you remove a sticker, part of it remains in that luggage. You don't want to come into a point in your life where you are standing on an altar and there's nothing left to stick. Ayaw na magdumikit. Why? Because you've stuck it out with so many people in the past. You know what I am for? I am for repentance. I am for repentance. It's as simple as that one. God says, we make mistakes, we repent. Repent, going here, you turn from it. The Bible says we produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And here's, to my knowledge, look at this one. The God that we worship here this afternoon, it is not God who's pointing His finger on you. If you feel condemned, that is the devil. If you feel convicted, that is the Holy Spirit. God would want to heal you. God would want to restore you. God would want to redeem even your virginity. To my knowledge, that is the God that I serve. If he can heal cancer, then He can make a soul. Amen. What does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. I've been married for just over 6 years now. And I thank God today's Valentine's Day. Some of you have been married for 10 years, 20 years. Great for you. Just a reminder from the Bible, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Magalungkat ka ng pictures. Nung youth siya, nung youth pa kayong dalawa, pakita mo sa kanya. Grabe, ang ganda-ganda mo. Pero mas maganda ka ngayon, sweetheart. Tip lang yun, ha? Pang-Valentine's, hugot. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Last one. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Amen.